This episode of the Steve Dance Island Podcast is brought to you by Caustic Andre. Listen, guys, this guy really needs your help. This is why he wrote to me, and he's writing to people. Help my daughter, please. She's only 5 months, and she has a terrible diagnosis, hydrocephaly. He paid 6,000 euros for the endoscopic surgery with no results, and they need another operation to put a shunt, which could take excess fluid from the brain of the kid. It costs 6,500 euros. The later the surgery is, the greater is the risk of developmental lag. We desperately need your help. Any amount of money will help Caustic Andre's daughter, his 5-month-old daughter, to have a chance to survive. He lives in the Ukraine, and he only earns about 270 euros a month. Currently, his daughter is undergoing the treatment in Hungary, as there is no any proper treatment in the Ukraine. All the official documents are in Hungarian and Ukrainian. Very soon, there will be an English translation. Thank you for your kind attention and understanding. The PayPal email, if you wish to help this cause, which I really hope, if you have even a dollar to donate for this cause, I really, really wish you guys could do something about it. His PayPal email is costykandrick111@gmail.com. That's KOSTYKANDRIJ111@gmail.com. I'm trying to help out people, you know, and this is definitely a great cause if you really want to chip in. This episode is also brought to you by Notorious App. The Notorious App is a new cutting-edge app that allows users to access real-time advice from top fashion, beauty, and other lifestyle type of experts. For example, if you have any sort of questions with anything involving fashion, whether you have a wedding coming up and you don't know what to wear, or let's say you have a birthday party or something like that, you need an expert to tell you what to do or what to wear exactly at that moment, get the Notorious app. It's available right now on iTunes and coming soon to Google Play stores too. It's a free app. You get access to personal advice from fashion and beauty and well-being experts of any kind. And I will definitely recommend this because it's kind of expensive to get a stylist, you know, to give you the advice that you need. But for free, I'm going to get the Notorious app right now. Available at www.notorious.im. This podcast is also brought to you by God Games Project. The God Games Project is a website that gives free magical empowerment and training. The site is free and does not even take donations. You don't have to join a secret society or wear a funny hat or try to be our friends. This is really free with no strings attached. Learn how to summon magical fire, join the undead in our free vampire turning spell, and more. Visit us at godgamesproject.com. That's godgamesproject.com. All right, guys, you ready to get this podcast started? Let's go.
You are now listening to the Steve Dance Island Podcast. Get ready for some tropical conversations and some refreshing guests. Now, here's Steve Dance.
Hey, what's going on, people? Steve Dance here in the freaking building. Yeah, it's me, Steve Dance, here with a brand new Steve Dance Island Podcast. The podcast I bring my most famous and talented and wonderful and amazing friends here to my lovely studio podcast network that I have here, and they talk about the industry and different things, and we catch up and we talk about different types of stuff. And today's guest is a really extremely, but I really have to say this with a capital A, amazing friend because he has helped me so much, guys. So much.
Oh,
so,
don't get sad. Don't so get much.
But we talk about that later. Let's talk about him a little bit. This guy is multi-talented. And when I tell you multi-talented, I'm not playing, guys. Multi-talented. This guy can act. This guy can dance. This guy can write poetry. This guy can sell you insurance. Or used to.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up to the one, the only, Devion Coleman.
I'm acting like I'm hearing people applause really loudly, and then standing in your seats and like throwing panties and shit at me, like woo, Devion is here. I'm like, yeah, take off your shirt, boom,
boom. There we go. What's going on, Devion? Long time no see, man.
I know, I haven't seen you forever. Since you don't like come to any of my shows or whatnot, you know.
But guess who has shows too? This guy.
We already discovered I don't have social media, so if you don't text me, then I wouldn't know about it. So
again, I keep forgetting. I thought you just didn't have Facebook.
I don't have Facebook. I don't have Instagram. I don't have Twitter. I don't have anything.
Why is it? All. Why?
I got rid of it in August. I was just like, I need to spend more time doing other shit. So I got rid of it. I was going to be like, I was going to get rid of it for 14 days because that's how long it takes to create a new one. Mm-hmm. I was going to make a more professional site.
You know, your whatever. Facebook never goes away, though.
It does. It takes 14 days to permanently delete it. You can disable it, but it takes 14 days to totally delete
but
it.
I have, for example, I have an old, because before when I was like my high school days and all that, mm-hmm. I had a, you know, a little Facebook that was like my personal one that I used to, mm-hmm. you know, write and whatever. And but I deleted it, and somehow
did you? You have to do certain things to delete it permanently. You can delete it, or you can disable it, or you can suspend it.
I went to delete it, but
permanently delete it. Like write a letter and get it deleted. Shut the fuck up, my Facebook is deleted. Don't crush my dreams of not having a Facebook.
I'm telling you, if you log in again, your shit is gonna be back.
If you log in, then it's supposed to be there, but after 14 days it's not supposed to be there, so my Facebook is gone.
My Facebook
is gone. We're gonna move on. I don't have a Facebook, so you can't find me on Facebook.
Everybody go and create fake Facebook pages.
I am gonna create a new one in January, though.
Okay, you're gonna start fresh.
I want to start fresh. Start new.
Okay.
You know, get my sexy on. Some sexy pictures up there.
Is it because of something personal?
That I stopped.
Yeah, or was
kinda.
It?
Kinda. I mean, it's a mixture of different things. One was like, I had it since high school, and I was like, I'm a different person than I was when I was in Red Lick, Mississippi. You know what I mean?
Red Lick, Mississippi.
Shout out. No, but I became a different person. You know, I started to discover new things about myself, and I found out that I was following a lot of people that I didn't know, or I was friends with a lot of people I didn't know, like in the dance industry and primarily in the dance industry, and then I was kind of getting more introduced to them on a personal level, so I didn't want to be like that creepy guy that were friends with them on Facebook for all these years that they didn't know that I was only friends with them because they were, you know, attractive or whatever. So I decided to delete it and then create a whole new, you know, Facebook, because I was a new guy. I wasn't the same 18-year-old I was when I was in boarding school. I was different, so that's why I deleted it.
That's cool. I've deleted it a couple of times and, you know, came back. It was mainly because I have an addictive personality sometimes.
Oh, do you? Are you an alcoholic?
I'm not alcoholic.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. I actually drink like probably four times a year.
Four times a year?
Yeah.
That's a lie. You don't have to lie, Craig.
No, I kid you not. Like, I honestly almost don't drink. If I drink, it's mainly because I'm, like, with my girlfriend, probably my girlfriend's house or something, and, like, they want wine. They're like, you want some wine, Steve? I'm like, no. Are you sure? Okay.
Yeah, I don't drink either. I haven't drank anything since, you know, a couple of minutes ago. But, Yeah.
I know you fell down the stairs.
I fell down the stairs.
I mean,
someone fell up the stairs.
That was me, guys. Oh my God. I can't be drunk anymore in public.
Drunk in public is the best thing in the world.
Really?
Yeah. I love it. I'm just playing. I'm not drunk in public. I'm drunk in the clubs.
I don't like being drunk in public. I hate being drunk in public. It's the worst thing ever, especially when with that drunk that you black out.
I never black out. I've never blacked out. I drink quite a bit. I'm legal. I'm 23. I'm giving my, you know, living my life. And every time I'm really, really, really drunk.
Emergency alert.
Why don't I have this emergency alert? Is that all iPhones, Amber Alert, something?
Nah, I have the 4S. Which one you have?
I have the 5.
Excuse me. Whatever, Mr. I Got Money.
Get your life.
Mr. Nick Cannon took my job.
Nick Cannon did take my job. I forgot all about that. And then they killed the character off. The show is not on anymore, but... What was that show? Christina Applegate's Will Arnett with the baby. Up all night. Nick Cannon got it. They did it just like Nick Cannon. The role wasn't even written like that. I was like, bitch.
But what about have you kept in touch with that casting agency?
No, I have not. They haven't called me in for anything else yet. But that was a big net, so I'm non-union, so that one's supposed to be for SAG.
When are you going to be union, man?
I will be union soon.
Are you eligible?
Very eligible to be SAG. I'm saggy.
You're saggy.
I'm just kind of waiting for a commercial to come through and they can pay for it.
You've been auditioning lately?
A lot, yeah. I mean, auditioning is hard, you know. You do it.
I just came from an audition today.
Right.
Actually, my agent woke me up today.
She woke you up. She came here and woke you. You slept with your agent?
I do that.
You sleep with
your agent? That's the only way you can get roles around here.
I mean, believe you.
Brad Pitt did it. Hey, Steve Des can.
You know, do what you do. You know. You
gotta do it.
Give it to her. Hard. Make sure she puts you up there.
Straight to the chest.
Straight to the chest?
Yeah.
Never heard that expression before. But
I know. I just
so what I'm thinking about, I don't think.
I just give it to her straight to the chest.
Straight to the boobs.
No. Shout out to my agency if they're hearing this. I love you guys. I bet they're not here.
Who is your agency?
William Morris.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
I was like, bitch. Oh shit!
I wish, man. I was
top agency in the world.
I so wish. I actually saw William Morris for the first time the other day. My friend, that guy showing me that I was talking about. We went to the Nike store. He was going to return those wristbands. You know that they have those wristbands that count everything on you.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Yeah, I don't do that either. But he got one of those. Apparently, they're like really expensive, $160 or something.
Yeah,
but
we were
passing by in Beverly Hills, and then I see this big. It's right by Equinox, right there in Beverly Hills. I'm like, whoa, this is William Morris. It's right here. Everybody has. Those running
things.
Well,
it's right by the gym, so, I mean, Equinox is a gym.
No, but the thing is, every single office has one of those little runner things. And they're basically with Bluetooth having meetings and running at the same time. Like,
shit.
The agents there.
Getting fitness.
Yeah, they're like, you better get fit if you want to work here.
That's why I got fit.
You want people to talk about you?
I'm just saying, you know, get your fitness on. Work out. Go to the gym.
Go to the gym, man.
Lift.
Because you're a gym teacher, too, right?
I am. I teach gymnastics and I teach PE.
You teach gymnastics?
Mommy and me classes. I do.
You don't do that crazy, like, pole vaulting and all that shit.
Parkour. pole vaulting. No, I don't do pole vaulting. I did run track, though.
So
that's in the same.
What
that's
you're
in the same.
Like a fraud.
No, I can do a back tuck. I can do a front tuck. I can do a front flip. I can do a cartwheel. Almost have my aerial. I'm just a little afraid to.
So what do you teach the kids though?
I teach kids how to do handstands, headstands, how to play basketball, how to play kickball, how to play soccer, how to play golf. Actually, which I'm not that great at.
Mini golf or real golf?
Well, I mean, we're in the gym, so it's kind of like a. Kitty version of everything.
Okay.
So, I mean, my kids are 6 weeks to 13 years old, so it depends on the age of the kids.
What do you teach your 13-year-olds?
Teach 13-year-olds? My 13-year-olds are really just doing, like, cardio, workout stuff that I would do, like push-ups and sit-ups and just, like, different games and stuff like that. We don't really do the sports with them. We just do, like, the cardio and the workout games.
What's been the biggest class you ever had?
The biggest class I've ever had. I have 500 students.
500 students just by yourself, or you had other staff members?
I mean, there's some of us. They're all broken up into different, like, you know, when you went to school, you changed classes. You went to, you know, it's kind of like that. So I get a couple of them at a time. So probably at the most, like 30 at once.
Cool. Is that chaotic for you? Or?
No. I mean, I'm really good at what I do, so.
Yeah. So
It's not arrogancy. It's just the truth.
Moving along, I'm pretty good at making sandwiches.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I discovered that lately. I don't know where I'm going with that.
I don't know where you're going with that either, but if you want to talk about you and making sandwiches, we can talk about that.
No, but we can bring it back to the agent. She didn't sleep with me, just for the record.
Okay, for the record, you did not sleep with
your agent. They just called me, and I'm like, hello? I couldn't even make... I should have made the first and then talk. Mm-hmm. Blake clearly gave away that I was sleeping. And she was like, hey, Steve, how you doing? I'm doing good.
At least your agent calls.
Yeah, at least. Well, I thought I was forgotten for a while, though.
Oh, yeah. Because
I've been auditioning, but just on my account.
On your own, yeah.
Yeah, and, but I haven't been out from them. And the thing is, one of my agents, I have all my agents on Facebook. Like, we're friends, right? Mm-hmm. We all got Facebook. Mm-hmm. We're all so cool like that. We're so cool. We all got Facebooks. We all trade pictures together.
It's fun.
It's a great environment. It's a great world.
Yeah,
we all keep up with each other.
That way,
when I have shows, I can invite them through there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And not through the phone, because sometimes I forget, and, you know, I can't go to shows like that. But on Facebook, I always get reminded, because I just go to my events and just click on it, and then
I see what's going on.
I'm like, today I have to go to the show.
Excuses. Anyway.
And so that's what happens. And, no, but she posted something about, like, oh, I'm tired of... client or whatever, like she posted something bad about a certain client, but she didn't say a name. Mm-hmm. She said, like, general, like, she hates when
you thought it was you.
And of course everybody's gonna think they're them, you know, when you're in that position in an agency. And and then I wasn't being sent out, you know, for like a couple of weeks. I'm like, yeah, it's definitely me or something like that. But then they just called me up today. I'm like, okay,
what did you go in for?
It was for, the thing is, I seen the breakdown. They were looking for a real blind guy.
So you had to go and pretend that you were blind?
Yeah.
Did you take someone with you, or a stick or something?
No.
Or a CNI dog?
The thing is, they couldn't find somebody that was blind.
I saw that breakdown as well.
Yeah, it was for Verizon or something.
I was like, I'm not blind. Bye.
But like, they were looking for somebody that was blind, and they couldn't find anybody. So... they ended up just trying to cast people that could play blind.
Okay, so, well, I hope you get it.
But I was with a bunch of kids, dude. Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, you kind of look young, though, so.
I know, but I kind of hate being put in that category. I mean, it's okay. It just happens. I'm going to do that in this business for a long time because I have a young face and all that.
Yeah, you, like, got a baby face.
Well, why the fuck are you staring at the microphone?
Because I touched it with my lip.
So you're trying to kiss the mic?
No, I'm not. But I was like, oh, that's gross. You know, I don't know whose lips spin. I don't know what you're doing.
I
don't know what you're doing in your spare time with these microphones. Let me just tell you.
The last one was a Thanksgiving edition. I had a homeless guy come here, and he put all his beard.
Did you disinfect it?
No, I don't.
I can't do this anymore. I got to go. You should disinfect the microphone.
Yeah, I'm not like Howie Mandel. I do it to this mic because it's mine, but to the guest one.
I see you like hugged up on it.
I don't care. Yeah, yeah.
Like you're about to make out with it. Okay, don't do that. Put your tongue back in your mouth. Stop kissing the mic, Steve. It's kind of gross.
Have you seen the Elmo documentary?
Oh, no. Everyone keeps telling me I need to watch it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, the dude is black.
Okay, yeah, because he's black, I should watch it.
Supposedly, he rapes kids.
That's not funny, but what?
I mean...
What does that have to do anything with me?
This is...
Supposedly, he rapes kids, okay?
My English is fucking up right now.
Well, you know, that's a constant.
That's not fuck you. Fuck you, Davion.
Como se dice English? I'm just playing. I don't know.
Como se dice bitch?
Punta?
No.
No?
Dice perra.
Perra. I wish I spoke Spanish. I really want to learn how to speak Spanish. It's a great language.
It is. It is. It gives you a lot of opportunities. I just booked a job without auditioning. It was because I speak Spanish.
And well, I mean, you're born and raised in Puerto Rico, right?
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, you know, I can't roll my R's. It's fine, okay?
It doesn't matter. You say Puerto Rico. That's what you said.
Puerto Rico. My favorite Spanish like phrase is como se dice.
Como se dice.
I think that's so sexy. The thing is, como se dice.
The thing is, that phrase is only used in classrooms that are teaching English people how to speak Spanish.
How do you say? No one. What?
Nobody. Okay. Nobody in Spanish says como se dice esto. Whatever.
I guess that's true.
That's always in classroom, like como se dice, because there's always people going like to
como se dice.
Traveling to Spain and going like, oh, excuse me, como se dice, mofongo?
Mofongo? What's a mofongo?
That's basically smashed plantains into a big mountain, and it's so delicious. Mm. And they put garlic, they put onions on it, they put some different types of meats on it, steak.
I didn't eat today. That's making me really hungry.
Sirloin steak.
Okay, chicken. So back to this Elmo guy and him raping kids or something that you're talking
about.
So
yeah, so he was this kid that he had this big dream of becoming a puppeteer. He studied Jim Henson.
Mm-hmm.
And
from Mississippi. Jim Henson is from Mississippi.
Is from Mississippi?
He is from Mississippi.
He has a big ass beard, that dude.
Mm-hmm.
But like he started watching the techniques of Jim Henson and everybody that was like really into puppeteering at those times, and he, you know, through his journey, he became the head guy at Sesame Street. He mm-hmm. he became the voice of Elmo, the Cookie Monster, and different people. He goes to Paris, France, and he coaches the people doing Sesame Street over there. In French, he's the one that coaches all of them. He's the head honcho of Sesame Street, basically. And recently, he got a couple reports on him that apparently he would lure kids.
Is this all in the documentary?
Not this part.
Not the raping?
Not the raping part.
Okay.
The raping part's been recent news. So, he got one accusation from this kid saying that apparently, like, he raped them, whatever. He won the case.
Because parents just be wanting money.
That too. That happens a lot.
You know?
But then a second kid stepped in, and when the second kid stepped in, he resigned because he said he's going through a lot of personal problems that he's not, you know, able to do all that stuff. So he resigned.
Are these both little boys?
They're right now on their teens.
They're teenage boys.
They're like 19, 17, 16. But they say like earlier, you know, years back, he did this to me. And then two more kids stepped in.
Oh, well, he probably did it.
So it's been.
I'm just saying.
There's probably more kids around, but so far I stopped at four. That's when I said. Okay,
what gives you? I don't understand it. I don't understand the need to. I don't understand how you are attracted to kids, like they're kids. Like how do they even come about? You know, it's really weird.
It's a weird behavior, but again, that could go with maybe he grew up really fucked up or something happened.
Was he ever married?
That's the thing. They never.
Did he have like a significant other? Was he gay? Was he straight? Was he out if he was?
I think he's gay.
But is he out gay? I mean, he messing with little boys, so maybe he is, or he's just a pedophile. Call it what it is.
I don't know if he's out gay. He doesn't seem, but they never really talk about our relationship.
Mm.
It's always about his puppets and shit.
And I guess maybe it's always around kids, and I guess you. I don't know. I don't know how a way to defend it. I don't think it's right. I work with kids.
So I worked with kids before, and I still work with kids. So I read to them and stuff, and. But I don't know. When you work with kids like that, too, it's like it's more a parental type of figure. It's not really like,
yeah, I guess.
I want to be with those kids, you know?
That's really creepy. This is a creepy voice. I want to be with those kids.
We made it happen.
I mean, no joke. That's nothing to play with. I mean,
yeah.
That's taking the innocence away from certain kids and confusing them and like. I don't know. It saddens me. I think about my kids and I think about teaching them and, you know, seeing them every day and how excited I am to see them and to think that someone was doing this to them is it's gross. It makes me upset. But it's something that I think we need to stress and talk about and think about and see why people are doing this. Are they just sick in the head, or, you know, what's going on with it?
Society, man. Society's fucking sick, and people are growing up sick, and they're transmitting that disease to other people. But I think, like, at least for kids specifically, it's such a people don't realize how big everything is for kids. Every single gesture is so big for kids. Like, they see it in times 10, you know, whatever little, if you give them a lollipop, they see that in times 10, you know, if you send.
And I think in some way, that's the way we all need to kind of see things. We need to take those, you know, we don't need to lose the innocence that we have as children. And they, kids, some kids, and in some cases they don't, but most kids, they appreciate so much. They look at things and they see opportunity, I feel. The younger they are, the more prone they are to see that opportunity in things. And just watching, I teach kids at like 6 weeks to 6 months years old, not years old, but 6 weeks to 6 months old. And they're like discovering the world and discovering things. And it's really cool to kind of see them like take the first steps and kind of like see what feel things and see what they are before they even like approach it, and just kind of take that cautionary precaution to the environment around them. It's really cool, and I think people, like adults, we need to make sure that we don't lose the childlike behavior, you know, that we have, that innocence that we have, to kind of understand certain things. I don't know.
Yeah, I honestly think I came to the conclusion that we live in a gigantic ass high school.
We do.
Yeah, like we are all.
I was really
kids.
Popular in high school, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, honestly, it is. Because, like, if you think about it, it's a gigantic ass high school. Who are the popular kids? The Kim Kardashians, the Kanye West, and we all gossiping about it. Oh, she's with this person. Oh, he's with this other person. Ooh. No?
I agree. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I feel some type of way about the Kardashians. I'm not a hater. I'm not a hater of the Kardashians. I could
care less, honestly. But that's what people want.
After they named that baby Northwest, I was done. I was just done.
I was walking by a Ralph's, and the first like magazine I see spread is like, finally, the photo album of Northwest is released. That's, I'm like, who the fuck cares? It's a baby.
Yeah. I mean, it's celebrity. I mean, honestly, I prepare for the day where someone is talking about me in People or in Star. It's going to happen. So, you know, I'm like, okay, people care. I guess what people care so much because, especially with reality television stars, they invite us into their world like we're their friend. Even though they're on television, we're seeing them, quote unquote, their lives play out. We're seeing their everyday life. So we, people who watch them, feel connected to them in that way. So, of course, they're going to want to know, oh, what happened here? Or I want to see the baby. I want to know what's going on in your life. And they see them more as, I don't know, a friend or something like that. Like they used to say about sitcom actors and actresses, that people start to see them more as family. You know, the cast of Friends, Rachel. Every time I see, what's her name?
Rachel.
Jennifer Aniston. Damn, I don't know how I forget her. Every time I see Jennifer Aniston, I do think Friends, because I was introduced to her as Friends. I watched her in my living room in the comfort of my own home. But if I go to the movie theater and I'm watching Sandra Bullock, I don't really associate her with anything, even though I've seen her in a lot of different movies. I don't associate her with anything. Or, you know, I know that she was in a lot of different movies, but when I'm watching a movie, I'm not thinking like, oh, she was in this. She was in this. When I watch Jennifer Aniston, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Rachel from Friends. And I'm thinking, oh, that's Rachel from Friends the whole time. And not like to discredit her work, but that's always on my mind. That's Rachel from Friends. Like Justin Timberlake. That's Justin Timberlake from NSYNC. Or that's Justin Timberlake, the singer. Or that's Beyonce, you know?
I don't be thinking like that. I mean, I can go back and think of, like, the first time I saw this person. But I'm like, oh, this person's Jimmy Kimmel. This person is Justin Timberlake. Because you already seen all these people, like, so and so much that it's, like, right. just That's them.
That's them. One day that's going to be us. Yay.
Yay. But it's all that. It's just pushing content and just throwing it in your face until you become a household name, but also good content as well. But again, productions of all that series and all that you can't control. So if you have a bad movie like Nicolas Cage has a lot of those.
Mm-hmm. He did have a lot of those.
It's like
Face Off wasn't bad though. Face Off was actually
Yeah, but Face Off, how old is Face Off?
It was like 90, what, 5?
It's like 20 years ago, dude.
I was 5 years old in 95. I just told my age.
Boom, boom, boom. Mm.
No, he did have a lot of bad movies though. I don't really watch anything Nicolas Cage is in.
No?
No.
Have you kept in touch with people from AMDA?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do keep in touch with people from AMDA. They are my friends. Kelby.
You worked that with Kelby's movie, right?
I did what?
You worked in Kelby's movie, the one he just wrapped?
No, he used my house.
Oh, he just used your house?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just hit me up twice, but it was like both of those days is exactly the days that I was like busy.
Yeah. I don't really do a lot. I mean, I do a lot of behind the scenes stuff with him if he asks me to, like maybe review his script and stuff like that. Mm. but that's about it. I do a lot of like spoken word. I'm always doing poetry. I love poetry so much.
Can you share with us a little bit?
Share with you a little bit of poetry? What do you want to hear? My poetry is really deep though, so kind of.
I don't know. I'm a big fan. I honestly, you know, that day I told you about that.
Oh, you haven't heard me since then, huh?
Yeah, since then.
I did my 12-minute poem.
I know. No, you did. You did more than 12.
That was really long. That was a long
You did more than 12.
Yeah, I did.
That was like 30 minutes of poetry.
Yeah, it was great, though. It was fun.
And you did one with another guy, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really talk to him anymore.
Really?
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
New revelation.
No, but I still talk to some people from AM. I talked to Kelby. I talked to Frank and Crystal, of course.
Aaron?
No.
No?
No.
What's happening there?
I mean, he doesn't talk to me. I mean, we're Aaron and I will always be brothers. Mm-hmm. So he's my brother for life. But we kind of disagreed on some things and it just kind of happened that I haven't seen him since January.
Is it some religious stuff?
Not necessarily, I don't think. We just had miscommunications where it came to us living together.
Oh, okay.
And someone.
Okay.
You know, someone was living with us and he didn't really want
I don't know. I'm going to have him on the podcast next week.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Tell him I said hi and mm-hmm. I love him dearly. He knows it. but yeah. So.
Since I know you more than. I honestly don't know him like almost right. Nothing.
He's a great guy. He's, you know, Christian, very Christian. And
I've seen his Facebook statuses.
He was a great friend to me. We were great friends. I do miss him sometimes, but, you know. I can't help certain things that he doesn't like, I guess. So, but yeah, so I don't talk to Aaron anymore.
Crystal?
I talk to Crystal. I love Crystal. She's my, like, that's my girl.
What's she been up to?
Working. She works a lot. She works
still
a day job
CVS?
All the time. Mm-hmm. She's a pharmacy tech, telling all her business.
She's going to be that. All day, every day.
All day, every day. No, she's working. She has an agent. She's auditioning like everybody else. And, you know, it's not easy, but it's our dream, you know. We have to chase it. Have to go after it, I think, you know. Right? You know.
Yeah. What about Polo?
Polo lives with Kelby and Frank. So I don't see him as much because Kelby and them always come to my house. Mm. And then when I go to their house, I'll see Polo every once in a while.
You live in NoHo now, right?
I live in North Hollywood. Yeah.
How do you like it over there?
I like it.
Sunny as fuck.
It is. It's pretty hot. And I don't like to be hot, but it's fun. I have a great roommate who's working a lot. Who's not from AMDA, but he's a working actor. I live really close to Kelby and Frank and Crystal. And it's the dance.
Crystal moved?
Crystal lives in North Hollywood as well.
Oh, y'all.
We're all there.
You're just creating your little Haiti over there.
Well, Kelby actually is Haitian, so he's the kingpin.
I know. That's what I'm saying. He white clef over there.
He white clef. But no, it's great. It's great. North Hollywood is great. I think I'm going to move next year, though. Kind of. Yeah, I think I'm going to move from North Hollywood.
Where?
Probably like West Hollywood.
See, that's your scene.
That's not my scene. It's just, it'll be more convenient because all my other friends live in, I hang out mostly with a group of basketball guys. Okay. It's a gay basketball league. Mm. And one of my really close friends, my best friend, Charlie.
Wait, so if it's a gay basketball league, do the rules change?
No, the rules are the same in basketball, I guess. I don't play basketball. I play baseball. But
so, wait, you don't even know what you're playing?
I don't play. I'm just friends with them.
Oh, okay. I thought you were part of the league.
No. I'm friends with the team. I'm a part of the league in a way where I'm like the fan that sits in the audience and just kind of cheers them on.
That's for example, if I slap your penis, does it count as a foul? Or is it they just let it go?
I guess it would count as a foul. I don't never see you slapping penises around here.
But it's the gay basketball league. I'm just saying, if I slap the ball and I accidentally touch your penis.
No. It's a legitimate team. It's like, you know, it's a team where they just so happen to be. Okay. You know what I mean? It's still like the regular sports team. It's a lot of gay sports. It's, you know, basketball, baseball, softball, billiards, wrestling, kickball.
And they promote it that way. They say, this is the gay dodgeball. Tennis.
No, I mean, it's just the league. It's the greater Los Angeles, like the softball is greater Los Angeles Softball Association.
Where, and they're all gay.
No, I mean, well, you can have straight people on the team, but the majority of the team is gay.
Okay, so you're the one calling them gay.
No. The majority of the team is gay. It's a gay league. It's predominantly a gay league.
Predominantly a gay league.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can say it's a gay league. It's okay. No one will get offended if you say it's the gay league.
Okay. The people wear like...
People wear jerseys like they do everywhere else.
I'm just trying to find the gay in it.
What do you mean?
Huh?
What do you mean trying to find the gay in it?
There has to be a gay part to it.
How? What do you mean? Why does it have to be a gay part to it?
Well, because you're emphasizing the gay league.
No, I'm just telling you that the guys on the team are, they just so happen to be gay.
Okay.
It's a gay league, but they just so happen to be gay. So if you go to watch the game with me, you'd be like, oh, they're gay? I'd be like, yeah.
Do you guys play with one ball or two balls?
Fuck you, Steve. you're a bitch. No, but it's quite great. Those guys are awesome.
Okay, I bet if you like to watch them.
They're some of the best people I've ever met.
The best people you ever met?
Some of the best people I've met.
Some of the best people you ever met.
Yeah, some of.
Who are your top five people?
Top five people?
That you ever met ever.
Ever met ever?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Beyonce's on that list because I met her.
You met her?
I did.
Where at?
The Cadillac Records.
Wait, you actually met her?
Met her. Okay, this is a story. I was at the Cadillac
Records. You talked to her.
I talked to her.
Okay.
Let me tell the story. Damn. I was at the Cadillac Records.
No, because some people say.
Oh, my gosh.
No,
really?
The thing is. No, I got to say this. Before I get mad. But there's people that say, oh, yeah, I met this person. They're like, oh, yeah, I saw them like over in the corner.
I'm going to tell you how I met her.
Okay, so.
I was at the Cadillac Records premiere. The red carpet event. She got out of the car. She went into the movie to see the movie. And I was just hung out with a friend of mine at the time. And we're talking to some of the drivers for the actors and actresses. And then the movie ended. And they were coming out and they were going to Ledoux. You know what Ledoux is in Hollywood? It's a club?
No.
Like,
I don't go clubbing.
Well, it's a club called Ledoux. I was like, it was in 2008, I think, when that movie came out. And me and my friend, we were standing on the sidewalk. And no one was over there because everyone was, like, at the actual club. So people were walking over, and then Beyonce got in her SUV, and then I was like, he was like, let's do the single ladies dance. Let's do dance for single ladies. So we just started doing moves from the video. She stops in the middle of the street and calls us over to her car, and she was like, I love your choreography. I felt that. I was like, thanks. She was just like, you know, we were told her we were actors, we were, you know, trying to make it, and she was like, well, you just have to keep going, and, you know, she was giving us advice, and Tina Knowles was in the car as well, her mom, and then people realized who we were talking to, and everyone's car running right behind us. She was like, I'm so sorry. She signed like this index card for me because I didn't have her CD. I left it in my dorm. She signed this index card for me. She signed my friend's CD. And then she was like, I'm so sorry. I really have to go. She said, it's okay. It's okay. Because people are like now pushing behind us. It's Beyonce. Beyonce. So then she like drives off and goes into Ledoux. And it was really cool. I met her that night, Columbus Short, Gabrielle Union, Jeffrey Wright, Adrian Brody. I met pretty much all of them because the rest of them, they just walked over to the club. She was the only one who drove. So they walked over and Gabrielle Union was like, you know, just keep it up, keep going. I was able to really talk to a lot of them. It was kind of weird.
And when those type of things happen to you, do you see it as a sign of some kind, or you see like, oh yeah, you just met them, just coincidence?
I guess I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that things happen for reasons. As far as a sign, I don't know. It could mean a lot of different things. It was just like by happenstance. I mean, it was just like I was there, and I met Beyonce. I wanted to meet her. I was there, and I met her. You know, things just kind of happen the way they're supposed to happen sometimes, you know. I don't know if I really believe
that. But, for example, like,
that I was going to make it or something. I mean, I feel like people meet her all the time and just like, oh, you know, I met Beyonce.
But, like, just randomly, though.
It wasn't really random.
Because, like, for example, if you go to a concert of hers, you know you're going to see her.
Right.
You probably won't meet her, but...
I knew I was going to see her, but I didn't know I was going to meet all those people. Yeah, I guess I didn't know I was going to meet, like, Columbus Short, and I was going to meet Beyonce and, like, actually talk to these people. So I guess, I don't know. I never really looked at it as, like, the sign. I don't know.
Because, for example, me, I met in one day, I met Lenny Kravitz, mm-hmm. Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And Taylor Lautner.
Oh, Taylor Lautner.
Yeah. I went in Hollywood. I met Robert Downey Jr. down Vine.
I remember. You called me and told me.
Yeah. I freaked out when I met him. I saw Lenny Kravitz. Well, I actually met and talked to him in Hollywood and Highland, Lenny Kravitz. Mm-hmm. And I met Taylor Lautner in the Loteria restaurant.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I have a friend who works in Loteria. You know, I don't really take a lot of things as a sign, but when I see, like, I saw... Bradley Cooper on Inside the Actor's Studio. Mm-hmm. And he was, as a student, asking Robert Downey Jr. a question. That right there made me just like... Because I think sometimes what happens, we see these celebrities and we see these actors and people that we strive to... the careers we strive to have and the people who have those careers that we strive to have, we see them as sometimes... out of our reach. And when I saw him as a student on Inside the Actor's Studio, no one knows his name yet, being very, you know, wanting this career as well, and standing up to ask an actor that he loved a question, I was like, it's so real. Like, it's not that far away from us. Like, we can make it. We can do it. Because you don't really see these A-listers as quote-unquote regular people a lot, and to see him as a regular person was, I think, was really cool, and was like, gave me motivation. Instead of a sign, I think I get motivated more. I guess that's what it is, motivation.
And with that motivation, we left behind the poetry.
Oh,
we want to hear some poetry.
You want to hear some poetry? Let me think about some. I don't really have anything prepared. Let me look in my phone. What kind of poetry do you want to hear? Steve Des.
I don't know. Anything that's not going to take 30 minutes.
Oof.
I could let's do one short and sweet just to warm up the crowd. And then let's do the...
Short and sweet.
And then let's do the one you want people to remember you by.
A short and sweet poem. You know what? I do have a poem. It's not really short and sweet. It's called The Reason I Stopped Following You on Instagram. You want to hear that one?
Let's do it.
The Reason I Stopped Following You on Instagram. So hold on. Let me get my voice ready, because this is a performance. So, and I don't have, you know.
So he's going to get his voice ready?
I'm going to get my voice ready.
Okay. Do you need things in your mouth to get your voice ready?
No.
I got carrots. I got asparagus.
Oh. You know, I love you, but I hate you at the same time. I'm just going to...
Why?
I just do. My voice, my throat is kind of dry, but it's okay. I think I can push through it. I never done a poem sitting down. I always do it standing up.
You can stand up. Hey, that mic stands moves.
This mic stand moves. Let me do that. Do I need these on?
No, you don't necessarily need them on. Just to hear me or if anything, but...
You know, I do like to have it on. Hold on, people. Let me move my mic.
It's like watching a monkey.
Shut up. I'm trying to
put blocks together.
Figure it out.
He's trying to move this mic.
Okay, fuck it.
You gotta watch this on video, guys. Go to YouTube and check it out.
Okay, I'm gonna do it. The reason I stopped following you on Instagram, okay? Here we go. I don't like to hear myself, so I'm gonna take this off.
Also, you can grab the mic as well, right?
Yo, I don't want to make a lot of like reverb. You know what I mean? It's really weird because I talk with my hands, so I'm gonna put this down. It's weird now because I can't hear myself. There we go.
Figured it out. Yay!
Yeah, I'm kind of smart. All right, I'm going to try to do this by memory.
Okay.
The reason I stopped following you on Instagram. Ernest Hemingway writes, I did want to kiss you goodbye. That was the trouble. I wanted to kiss you goodnight, and there's a lot of difference. When we met, I looked into your eyes nervously as I asked for your number. You smiled at me. With a smile created and crafted by God's hands, your leaf. Ah! I messed up, so I had to start over again. I had to put on my magic hat. So we're going to strike that from the podcast. We're going to edit that one out.
There's no edits.
I know there's no edits. Here we go again. Y'all ready? Yeah. I mean, I'm asking all of you already, like y'all can actually
we ready.
Respond to me.
We ready.
So I just pretend. The reason I stopped following you on Instagram. Ernest Hemingway writes, I didn't want to kiss you goodbye. That was the trouble. I wanted to kiss you goodnight, and there's a lot of difference. When we met, I looked into your eyes nervously as I asked for your number. You smiled at me. With a smile created and crafted by God's hands, your teeth, shined by the halos of his angels, lips pressed and kissed by his son so that I may taste them and feel that much closer to heaven. But I didn't know that Satan roasted your tongue. Preserved it for years like one food do for only the best alcohol. See, the taste was absolutely incomparable, but I became drunk because you gave me much more than my limit, and I was an addict. The more I had, the more I wanted. I didn't know that the well would run dry so fast, leaving me thirsty. My mouth as dry as the Sahara. So you play with my eyes, remove them so that I could see whatever it is you wanted me to see. You left my heart weak for your attention and affection. You wasted my time. You wasted my kiss, and if you would have told me that a one-night stand plus two encores was all you ever wanted, I would have known not to give a fuck at all. Not to care about what drives you or not, your favorite ice cream or favorite food, I wouldn't have invited you into my home, introduced you to my friends, let you invade my thinking, write this poem. I would have done with you what you are supposed to do with disposable items, use you, and toss you in the trash. But like a fool, I mistook your value for fine china instead of plastic plates. Look, I know I didn't know you long. But it was long enough for my heart to give birth to this poem. So when you told me that we should keep in touch, my heart tears began to cry. Because if you meant that keeping in touch was following each other on a social media app that shoves in my face how beautiful you are and reveals to me your new man or men or hookups or whatever, I can't take it. See, double-clicking where every picture became my way of shouting to the top of my lungs until it was as black and blue as my heart that I wasn't ready to say goodbye to you. See, because on the first day we met, I kissed you, and I inhaled you completely, and I like how you like for me to say hello, and I just wanted to keep saying hello to you. See, every post that I made was a piece of my shattering heart begging you to not just like it, but to pick it up, grab it, and run it back to me. See, Instagram became my reckoning. Because just a picture of your face showed me that God made you himself by hand, and he paid very close attention to detail, and he filled you on the inside with your passion, your drive, your laugh. Why did you ask me to stay the night? Why did you hold my hand? Why did you sing me those love songs? Why did you play pretend and nominate yourself for the fakest, most gorgeous laughter to ever cuddle my heart and make me feel as special as I knew you were? Oh, if I should die tomorrow, oh, please let them be someone to love you just as much as I know I would have. Look, we can remain friends, but I refuse to get updates on someone who would never be mine. You see, my mind is already fixated on you. Sorry. Unfollow. Boom, boom, boom. Nah, that was really rough. Sorry.
Yay! That was awesome, man.
So, I'm trying to get the mic down now.
Yeah, he's trying to get the mic down right now.
There we go.
people can slightly hear you. They can hear the rumble.
I'm sorry for that.
Good. That was awesome, man.
Yeah, that's the reason I stopped following you on Instagram. Sorry, a little rough. You have to come see it live. It's really cool. Then I can act it out and kind of...
Where do you usually perform? I know you're the bakery.
I perform at the Bakery Poetry Lounge in North Hollywood.
Did they change the dates now then?
No, it's every third. No.
Because it was every last
Thursday. It's the last Thursday of every month. Mm. But Thanksgiving was on the last Thursday in November.
That's why.
So couldn't do that. I'm going to the Poetry Lounge soon to start doing that. I usually work on Tuesday, so it's really hard for me to make it out there. And I do Urban Legends, which is downtown at the Attic. I go to CSUN, Cal State Northridge. And I do their open mics as well. It's where I test out a lot of my material. It's really cool.
You should come to the open mic. I'm going to an open mic today.
Is it a comedy open mic or is it a...
It's a comedy where you can do whatever. People go and do whatever the fuck they want, really. Mm. There's a guy that literally talks for 4 minutes
about... Where is it? How much?
Is it? No, it's free.
Where is it?
In Pasadena.
Pasadena. I'm down. What time? I work, though, so it's
kind of... The sign-up is at 5:30. It starts at 6.
Yeah, I work.
But yeah, it's every Wednesday. It's mad fun. Like, there's literally a guy that goes every single Wednesday. And he talks for 4 minutes about how he's going to one Wednesday, he's going to have the courage to go there and tell jokes. So he's just talking about, like, I'm so nervous, but I know someday I'm going to be able to tell jokes.
I want to be a comedian.
You should go, man. It's a great room. I love that room.
I'll go. I mean, I'll try. I mean, a lot of my stuff isn't...
Just do poetry.
Funny.
Just do poetry. It doesn't matter.
I will. I'm not afraid.
You got 4 minutes, man, and you do whatever the fuck you want.
I'm not afraid to do it. I love poetry.
And I'm telling you, it's a great room. Like, you feel... Cool. Even if you even bomb, you feel great about it. Okay. It's a really positive room.
I'm down. I'll go with you for sure. Mm-hmm. Let's go Wednesday. Next Wednesday. Not this Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, yeah. I'm down.
Oh, I see your schedule up there. Because I leave for Mississippi on the 18th.
On the 18th. Yeah, I'm not going home.
Didn't you just go home for like 2 months?
I went home for a month.
For a month? In June or July or something like that?
In June. The whole month.
Why do I remember that?
You're stalking me.
No.
Because you have Facebook at that time?
Probably. You know what? I'm not going to lie. When I have Facebook, I could find out every single thing about everybody that I wanted to know about. Where they from, how many siblings they had, what they like to do, what they like to eat. I was a genius at finding out shit.
It
was kind of creepy.
I didn't care.
I did. I think I was using it in not the most positive way.
That's why.
I was like, I got to get off of this because I'm like looking at these people. I'm like, oh, my God, I know that you do porn. Or like, I'm like, I can find out everything. It was kind of odd.
See, that's what people in my country call creepy.
Yeah, it was kind of creepy. But I mean, I'm really handsome, so it's okay. I get a pass on being creepy.
I just use Facebook to promote my shit.
Yeah, I am going to do that. I have a new company, Speaking My Truth Alliance. Whoop.
Company of what?
Speaking My Truth Alliance.
But about what?
It's a organization founded by me, created by me. It's a group of poets, comedians.
Me.
It's all about me. That's a Maya for you. No, it's an organization. I just started it, but I'm right now interviewing a couple of people to be a part of it. We go into different schools, different performance venues, boys and girls clubs, places like that, and we do our art. Let's say the reason I stopped following you on Instagram, I'll probably do that piece and then kind of talk about how I came about doing that. We teach spoken word, teach outlets to have a more positive way of expressing your truth. I feel like what happens is a lot of people don't know why they do a lot of things, and they're afraid of facing what's true about them. So I like to ask the question, you know, what do you know to be true about yourself from a surface level that you cannot argue with? And start with that basis and kind of go into detail about how that affected you, how that has affected you now. and why you make the decisions and, you know, that you make. I feel like if I didn't have poetry, then I would probably be doing a lot of bad things. So trying to help kids primarily find a different outlet to express themselves before they get to drugs and alcohol and violence.
I'm down to help you out if you let me help you out. I'm actually doing a show this Saturday. Let me plug it real
quick.
He's
promoting himself.
I gotta do it. You just reminded me of it. No, but I'm doing this show on Saturday night. It's in the inner. It's at the Rosemont Theater, I believe is the name. It's in the Inner City Arts. It's in downtown LA at 1 p.m. this Saturday night. It's free, free. Saturday afternoon. And it's completely free, and it's for the kids. It's mainly for kids that grew up in, like, bad neighborhoods, Compton, mm-hmm. Inglewood, you know, all those places. It's a show put together for them. I got invited as a special guest. The kids are the ones mainly performing. I'm just going to drop some knowledge, go over there and do some a little set, you know, and talk to the kids. And it's a great thing that they're doing, is to keep them away, like you said, from drugs and bad things from happening. And I'm personally a guy, you know, I grew up in one of the baddest neighborhoods of
Puerto Rico.
You know, we every time, you know, gunshots were out, that's when you go to sleep. And that's what happens. But comedy really saved my life, really. And it took me away, you know, to different adventures. And my poetry did for you. And, you know, I know comedy is going to help these kids. And that's why I'm doing that show. So go and check it
out. It's important.
Saturday,
1 p.m. That's so important.
Inner City Arts.
Go check it out.
It's really important.
Inner City Arts.
Yeah.
That's important. That's very important.
1 p.m.
I'm so proud
of
you.
It's really important.
I'm so proud of you.
Inner City Arts.
Makes my heart smile.
Downtown LA.
Yeah.
Makes my heart smile if you go.
I probably won't go because I'll be at work. So,
I know.
You know, I work a lot.
No, but for sure, I'll be down to help you out.
That's cool.
Want my help, want me to do some stand-up, want me to talk to the kids, want me to teach them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great program. I think it's going to be really beneficial to not just the kids, but the artists that will eventually be a part of it. Right now, I'm starting off small, trying to do about 5 people. Just to have something to present, and then hopefully it grows and there'll be Alliance members all over the world that are going into these different schools and helping these kids and also helping themselves. I'm not trying to lie and be like, oh yeah, I've been in this movie. No, it's not that I'm as successful as I want to be, but I'm in the process of pursuing my dreams. And I think the process is something that we don't get to hear a lot about. The failures are something that we don't get to experience a lot, and to know that it's okay that you don't make it on your first audition. You know, it's an overnight dream that takes 20 years. You know, it's that. And I think that's important for a lot of kids that, you know, think that it's something that's really easy, or think that it's like not made for them, to know that there's people from Puerto Rico.
He's there with an L this time.
Oh, whatever. Mississippi, Cincinnati, all these different places who grew up in, you know, some in privileged places, some in rough, rural places and things like that, and that they are out there, they are doing it, they are in it, pursuing it. So it's okay that you pursue it too. There's room for everybody. You just have to be willing to, you know, keep yourself accountable for things and to find your truth and to find out what makes you tick. Even if it's not art, if it's not, you know, any of that stuff, it's not poetry, find some type of outlet that helps you become a better person and hope for the guy is a better man, you know.
Yeah, if I honestly believe in, like, do what makes you happy. You got to do it, especially, you know, I talk about it in the last podcast, but I'm going to bring it up again. You know, that whole Paul Walker thing, that he, you know, it's unfortunate that he, you know, passed away and things like that, but at least he was doing what he loved to do, you know, and that was acting, you know. But I'm saying before that, he was, he did the whole acting thing. He was grinding for a long time, and he became this big star because of Fast and the Furious. But, you know, disregarding just Fast and the Furious, he has done tons of other work. And, you know, it took him a while to get there. But at the end, he did what he loved to do. And same with you guys. Like, I really wish you guys would just go and do what you love to do. And if you're, for example, if you're serious about entertainment in particular, I will say the best thing you could do, not right away, but, like, put yourself in the field somehow. Like, if you yeah. want if you want to be an actor, if you're serious about your craft, move to L.A. Do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's something my dad keeps trying to get me to move to Baton Rouge. He was like, you can act here. I was like, sure. No, you have to take steps to make sure that whatever dream you have comes true, you know, and it may take a long time, but it's not, if it was easy, then everyone would be doing it. So it's definitely not an easy thing. It's a very hard thing to do, but I think, you know, to be young and beautiful.
Oh, I thought you were going with something else.
What you thought I was going?
Young, wild, and free.
Oh, no. I was
free.
I was on, do you still love me if I sing young and beautiful?
Was that some Luther Vandross?
That's Lana Del Rey. That's the Great Gatsby soundtrack, which was a good soundtrack.
I've not even seen the movie.
Oh, it's good. I liked it. It didn't get really great reviews.
I don't know. I wasn't really into the storyline. I was just into, like, oh, it looks beautiful, like the way they
I shot it. I mean, well, did you read it? No. I don't know if you guys had to read that. We had to read that in school, so it was... It was good. You know, it was a great story. He did it all for her. I'm always reminded of something that you told me when we first met.
What?
When you were searching for a girlfriend. It was like, if not for love, then what's the point? So that's like what I think about. And that movie.
I said that?
You said
that. That sounds deep as fuck.
It was deep. You said that.
That doesn't even sound so like
that's
something,
that Steve Dez told me, and I remembered it. And I think about it quite often. Because the movie was about love, and it was about he did all this to try to lure her in. To get her. He did it for love. If it's not for love, then what's the point? Right? You said that. Don't remember saying that, dude.
I don't remember. But yeah, I came to realize a lot, because I've gotten frustrated a lot through, you know, this whole business. It drives you crazy.
It does.
What I love about this business is that It drives you to the point, you know? Drives you to the edge of the cliff, like, whether you are going to jump or you're going to stand there. Like, right, what are you going to do? You got to make a choice. And even though it's really frustrating, I really enjoy that, because you discover so much about yourself. Like, I failed so many times in so many aspects of my life. Not just career-wise, but personal, you know, about how my troubles, relationship-wise, you know, with the career, with family, with myself, just many things. But what I like about it is that if you stick with it, right when you're, like, in the point of, like, oh, I'm going to pull the trigger and fuck this shit, you know, but if you just stick with it and you just keep going on it, you know, and you get to a place where you realize that everything you already have is already what you need.
Oh yeah,
what you think you need, you don't necessarily need it, or everything happens when it's supposed to happen.
Oh yeah, I was thinking about that this morning.
So. Yeah, because for example, if I was a kid that I was like a Justin Bieber. For example, like, I just got discovered in the street, and like, they were like, whoa, and they just throw all these crazy things of fame and shit. Like, I will go crazy. I will definitely have a godlike complex or something like that. But if it's like the way it is going, which is little by little, slow and slow and slow and steady, and I just keep going at it, and even the days that I'm like, oh, am I gonna make rent, everything's gonna be taken care of somehow.
Right. It always works out.
It's just a matter of just sticking with it and not wanting more.
Right.
Because I keep going, I want more and more and more and more.
But that will come.
That will come eventually. It will come in due time. Yeah.
It reminds me of, like you said, you are enough. That's what it is. You are enough. It's nothing wrong with bettering yourself and you know, just and becoming a better person and a better craftsman or whatever that craft that you are seeking to do. There's nothing wrong with making yourself better in it. But what you already have is enough. You can't go back and change things about you that happened. You know, it happened, let it happen, leave it alone, let it be. Accept who you are, love who you are, and keep it fucking moving. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's this poem that I didn't do. It's not about me, but there's a couple of poems that I just love, and poetry is something that inspires me a lot, as we've heard throughout this whole talk, because I've been talking about it all the time. But you said things happen when they're supposed to, and my thing is that I've never really been afraid of acting. I've been trained in it for a long time. I know that I'm good at doing it. And it's something that doesn't necessarily, the career that I want to have, it doesn't really make me afraid. You know what I mean? Acting itself scares me in a good way, because it's something like there's this lady called, I hope I get her name right, Brene Brown. She researches vulnerability and how a lot of people who are vulnerable, it's seen as a weakness. When you think about people being vulnerable, a lot of people think of it as being weak. They're not able to withstand things. And I'm a very vulnerable person, so I don't see myself as weak. I see myself as a person that is very strong, because a vulnerable person wears their heart out all the time. And even if someone knocks you down and shoots you there, you're able to stand back up and keep moving. You're not afraid of being hurt. You're not afraid of being told no. You know, it hurts just like it does for everybody else. But instead of pulling up this wall, you push through it. You keep going. And it's just like with love. I had someone tell me that they wouldn't date me because I was too nice. I was too vulnerable. I was just like, you know,
I had that before.
I was like, I'm too nice. What do you mean I'm too nice? That's a good thing. And I was thinking, I mean, you know, a little bit, you know, how I lost, you know, a lot of people in my life, you know, my best friend when I was here, and when I was my brother when I was 15. And just, I know more people that have died than, you know, hands that I have, you know, so that's, I mean, than fingers that I have, you know, hands I only have two. So it's really when they told me that, I was like,
what happened? Why the laugh? You're gonna drop a name?
Yeah. When he told me that, I was like, wow, really? I mean, do you realize how hard it is to be nice and to be vulnerable? You know what I went through in my life? I don't supposed to be here. I was supposed to be dead a long time ago. Have you experienced that? For you to tell me that I'm not as mean or as rude as you would like me to be? What are you? Do you think this is a Rihanna song? Come on, rude boy. You know, shut the fuck up. No, but it's very hard to be a vulnerable person. And getting into a business like acting and like comedy, we stand on stages all the time, and we're hoping that people relate to us in a way. Like, even, you know, spoken word and comedy, they have a really, you know, it's kind of a lot of similarities in the way where we stand up there and we tell our life stories, you know, in hopes that people understand where we're coming from. People usually pay for us to vent to them. That's pretty much what we do. They're paying to hear us vent about shit, about past relationships, about moms and dad problems, about issues. And when it's genuine, when it's the truth, you see a big difference than when it's flawed and when you're trying to be someone else and fake that. I like how I circled all the way back around to Speaking My Truth Alliance, which is what Speaking My Truth Alliance is about. It's about, you know, finding that truth. But I was going somewhere with this. Oh, I was reminded of this poem. This girl, Sarah Kay and Phil Kay, they have a poem called When Love Arrives. And one thing about me, Steve, I always think about love. Like, it's the one thing that I always think about.
It's all you need.
It's always on my mind.
Once you have it, that's it, dude.
It's always on my mind. It's like, okay, I love my career. I love my craft. I know that I'm good at that. I worry sometimes, like, am I going to find the one to spend the rest of my life with? They say something. They say love arrives exactly when love is supposed to. Love leaves exactly when love must. When love arrives, say welcome. When love arrives, say welcome. When love leaves, tell her to leave the door open behind her. Turn off the music. Listen to the quiet. I have a couple problems with that, but I think in where you are coming from, as far as you are enough and things happen when they are supposed to. The same thing with love. Love happens when it's supposed to. You're going to be in the right place for it when it happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't rush it or anything like that. But I don't know. I'm just kind of rambling right now.
I want to find...
Ramble.
I want to find this quote that I wrote because it's so perfect. It just describes a lot of things that were happening. Because I noticed, like, little by little, you know, we all change little by little over time. Right. In due time. It's not really a big change. It's just we add on things to ourselves by the way we grow in life. But I've been so... I was being so frustrated, mainly because I've been wanting to, like, change the world. That was, like, my main thing. I want to change.
Don't we all want to change the world?
Oh, yeah. So fucked up.
We all want to be superheroes.
And I came across this quote, and I'm like, wow, this is like a breath of fresh air when I read it.
I'm excited. I love quotes.
It's a quote from Soren Kierkegaard. It says, life is not a problem to be solved, but a reality to be experienced.
Oh, yes.
I love that quote. Oh, my God.
That's a tattoo moment. Get that tattooed on you.
I read that quote. Life is not a problem to be solved, but a reality to be experienced.
Right.
It's crazy, like, because sometimes we just get so frustrated, like, oh, Obama sucks. Oh, Bush sucks. Oh, this and that. Oh, politics. Negative Nancy's here and there. And we just get so caught up on all that BS that we forget what are we here in the first place. Yeah. This is a life. Live it. Enjoy it.
Yes.
Do what you love. Work on what you love. Experience what you love. Be with the people you love to be with.
Life Why? Is not worth not risking something for it.
Yeah.
You have to risk stuff for love. I mean, not for just for love, but for life in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, where I'm from, a lot of people, like, they stay there, they are content, and I guess they're happy, and that's fine. I'm from a very small town, if you guys didn't know, but it's something great about being able to experience a world on your own, being able to see things from different points of views. I didn't even know my first white person until I was 16 years old. And that's, my town is still 100% black. So a lot of my friends and a lot of my family members, they don't know people, not just white people, but people of different races. Because it's all one thing. It's all, you know, everyone believes in God and everyone does this. And it's something great about me moving to Los Angeles, discovering who I was for myself. That was one thing. But then being able to be friends with someone from Puerto Rico, someone from, you know, Tulare, California, someone from Australia, you know, white, black, Mexican, Asian, Puerto Rican.
Gingers. You can't let the gingers out.
Yeah. Male, female, gay, straight, atheist, Christian, Catholic. To know that there's so many people in the world and everyone is so different. And for me to not have experienced that, I think would have hindered me, my growth so much. And I'm just so excited about that. That quote I love. You have to text that to me because I love it a lot. I love quotes.
If you want, I can, because I do this thing. I mainly tweet it. I text it to a couple people, but I mainly tweet it.
I don't have Twitter.
I know you don't have Twitter, but I can text it to you.
You can text it to me. That'd be fine.
Yeah, from time to time. I try to do it daily, but, you know, life is life. And sometimes
you try to text inspirational things to people?
Yeah.
I never get it. Why do you never text inspirational things?
Because I do it when people ask me to do it. For example, I had a guest here named Lena. She was a classmate of mine at the Groundlings. She's a comedic actress. And she's like, yeah, you should text it to me. And I started texting to her, and I was doing it every day, but then I stopped, and then I was doing it every other day, and it's like whenever I can.
I do that sometimes.
I'm trying to get to the point of, like, Reb Run, you know, that in his show, at the end, he would, like, sit in the bathtub and, like, text everybody something inspirational or whatever.
Is that what you want to do, sit in the bathtub?
I want to do that. I wish I could do it every day. It's just...
That'd be cool. I think I'm going to do that. We should do that when you join my alliance. That's part of the Facebook page, to post positive things and... We gotta put positive energy in the world, you know.
Yeah,
the world isn't that bad. I love the world.
Yeah, the world's awesome, man. It's giving me the opportunity to be here.
Right.
It's like I was just reading about this guy. There's this guy. He's a rapper in Puerto Rico. His name's Calle 13, and he's a
sorry.
basically, Street 13. That's his name. Okay. Street 13, Calle 13. But that dude, he lives mainly in South America most of the time because that's when he's really popular. He's a great musician, but he's really a big guy in, like, independency. Like, he loves that, and he wants Puerto Rico to be, like, completely independent.
Yeah.
And I'm not cool with that. like, mm-hmm. not 100%. I mean, I get his point of, like, yeah, we should be able to, you know, be strong and stand still with us. But, like, being in the United States is pretty damn awesome. I mean, think about it. Like, for example, the amount of opportunities I had, that's why every day I got to remind myself, like, Steve, you're fucking lucky, you know, that you're right. even here. Because I would have been another kid and I wouldn't be here. Like, for example, the type of opportunities I have is not the same opportunities my mom had. For example, my mom was born in the Dominican Republic, and then she lived in Puerto Rico. And by doing that, she wasn't a citizen right away, right. you know? She was still a Dominican Republican citizen. For example, if my mom wanted to be an actress, she couldn't. She first had to, like, get her citizenship, get all that stuff straight, get all the paperwork done, then travel over here, and she will have to deal with more security stuff with the whole visa, whatever thing. Right. It's a whole process she will have to go. I was born in Puerto Rico. Bam. Automatically a citizen.
A citizen of the USA.
Of the USA. And that has helped me, you know, to even be here and not worry with the extra BS that other people have to worry about. And I have many, many friends from Italy, Argentina, and some other places. And they all have to go through all this whole visa shit.
Big process, yeah.
And it's a big process and stuff. And I am so lucky just because I don't have to go through all that.
Yeah. I mean, I love our country. So many people talk so much shit about America. But I am so blessed. Mm. I am so glad that, you know, people are going to really hate that I say this. But even slavery. Like, if it wasn't for that, then I wouldn't have been alive. Like, that whole thing that happened, it was horrible. But because of that, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And I can't discredit that. I wish it didn't happen the way it did. But because it did happen, it produced me. And I'm very happy to be an American citizen. I'm so happy to, you know, to be in a country where I am free, where I can fight for things that I want. Mm-hmm. You know, for equal rights for African Americans. Equal rights for women, equal rights for gay Americans, equal rights for everything. You know, it's pretty cool that we have a voice. A lot of people don't have voices, so be proud. Be proud to be an American.
Yeah, you got to be proud. If you're an American, if you live in the United States of America, be proud.
Just be proud. Proud
just because you live in one of the few countries that you can actually, if you think about something, you can make it happen.
Right.
And there's a lot of places that you can't, that's not possible at all. And so you just be proud that you're here and just be graceful that you're even alive, you know?
I like that. Be proud, be grateful.
Be proud, be grateful.
Quotes, quotes, quotes. We're all about quotes.
And
today.
Be gay.
Be gay. Be happy. Yeah, be gay.
Be happy. Be happy. Be gay.
We're all
be
about
happy.
Quotes.
Be happy. Gay.
Be gay. Be gay. So let's see. I'm thinking about quotes I've heard. Oh, I think you may like this. You may like this quote. It's by Miles Hodges. Mm. He's an amazing poet. He says, "The only thing I hate more than love is not being in it." Boom. That's it. Isn't that a great quote?
It's a great quote. That's for a people great that are quote. Not in love.
Yeah, I mean, for me. I mean, you're in love.
I'm in love.
But that's okay.
I'm in love with a stripper.
Let's talk about something else. What movies have you seen?
What movies? I recently saw Thor 2.
Okay, didn't see that. Have no opinion about it.
I saw it over Thanksgiving.
How was it?
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good. I can't
That's
complain.
Chris Hemsworth?
Chris Hemsworth.
Brother is Liam?
Yeah. What was the name? I forgot the name of the actor that plays Loki.
Is that the girl?
No, Loki's Thor's brother.
Oh, I don't know. I've never seen Thor.
You never seen him?
I've never seen Thor.
The Avengers?
Never seen the Avengers.
What?
I will watch it one day. I'm not a big superhero movie fan. I like The Dark Knight and X-Men, but that's about it.
Are you going to see the new one?
The Dark Knight?
The X-Men?
X-Men, yeah.
That is, they go Days of Future Past?
Yeah.
Looks pretty interesting.
It does look interesting. I'm excited to see it.
I'm not super excited to see it, but I'm a little bit excited.
I'm excited to see it. I'm always excited to see an X-Men.
I like
movie.
The First Class, though. That movie was...
First Class was good.
Was bomb.
I thought the trilogy that they did was good, too.
Nah.
It was okay. It was a good
I like the first movie. One, but then after we just got...
Didn't
stupid.
Like Wolverine, though. That wasn't a great movie. Nah, the first one that they made wasn't impressed with it at
it
all.
It wasn't even well-edited like that.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But First excited. Class, I was a big fan of. Like, I saw it multiple times in theaters.
I mean, Michael Fassbender's in it, so...
It was just great acting. Great acting in general, yeah. Great storyline, great script. It's really a script, really.
Yeah, it's all about the words.
It's all about those words, man. If you can make a brilliant script, man. There's a movie that is really, really a great script, but apparently didn't do that well box office wise. It's on Netflix called Hit and Run.
I think I've seen it. Isn't it like an action type movie?
Sorta. It's like an.
Who's the lead in it? John Stamos or something?
Not John Stamos. Bradley Cooper's on it.
Oh, is he really? I like Bradley Cooper now.
He did, but he's not the lead. The lead is Dax Shepard. That's his name.
I love Dax Shepard.
He wrote it. He wrote it. He co-directed it, and he starred on it. And Christian Bale is on it too.
Oh,
and she's a great actress.
That's his wife.
That's his wife.
Christian Bale. That's his wife.
Yeah. No wonder they had amazing chemistry.
I love Dax Shepard. He's in one of my favorite shows on TV. Watch it. Parenthood is a great show.
No wonder they have such amazing chemistry.
Did you see it? Is it good?
Oh, yeah.
Is it really good?
Okay. And I discovered that movie because I went to an acting showcase.
Mm-hmm.
And these two guys did this scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, everybody after the showcase was like, where you got that from? Where you got that from? It was a great scene. Mm-hmm. And they were like, Hit and Run. Some movies on Netflix, blah, blah, blah. Check it out.
I'm going to watch it, yeah.
And I watched the movie. I'm like, how come I never heard of this movie? I think the only reason this movie didn't do good is because it had poor marketing.
Yeah, that has to be it. I mean, because Dax Shepard and Christian Bale, they're not like leading A-listers. I mean, but Dax Shepard's on one of the greatest shows on TV, Parenthood. And Kristen Bell is his wife. And she was on, what, Heroes? That's one of her big things. And Veronica Mars. That's what she started at.
I mean, she's been hustling Kristen for a long time. Bell, yeah. She's everywhere, though.
So, oh, yeah. I want to see that. Another good movie on Netflix is a Kevin Smith movie, Red State. So good.
Red State
is such a great film. You have to watch it if you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
It's so good. I was like, Kevin Smith, I'm just used to Kevin Smith being like the funny. It's not a funny movie. It's not a comedy.
Hmm.
It's great.
It's great.
It's great. I saw it years ago. So hopefully it's still on there.
Hopefully.
It's great.
Well, on that note, we have concluded the podcast.
We have? Oh, wow. Yeah. It went by so fast.
I know.
I like it.
Is there anything you want to plug? Facebook, Twitter.
Well,
yeah, follow me.
Look out for Speaking My Truth Alliance. It's going to be on Facebook, going to be on Twitter. Look out for Devion Andres Coleman, Facebook and Twitter, and also Instagram. Just show love, show kindness, everybody, and, you know, everything. Oh, look at that.
I found a picture of you.
He found a picture of me on the internet. Why is it? Oh. I do dance. I have some dance stuff on YouTube, so you can check that out, too. I'm a choreographer. Follow me on YouTube and look at some stuff on there. Other than that, stay true to yourself. Be happy. Be loved. Be liked. You know, follow your dreams. If not for love, then what's the point? Steve Dez quote.
That's my quote, guys. Apparently. Wow. I went deep. Back in 2011.
Yeah, that's when we met.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
2011. And you laid your eye on me. And like, look at this boy with the hat to the side.
We wore a red hat.
It wasn't a red hat.
It was not a red hat. It
wasn't a red hat because I used to use the same hat, and it was a Lakers hat.
Did you have a red hat?
And it was purple.
Did you have a
bottom.
Red hat? Have you ever had a red hat?
I had a red hat.
You wore a red
but
hat
I
one day.
I only used it for a play. We were doing The Orphans from Neil Simon.
You didn't start school when I saw you. It was before you started.
Yeah, I didn't use the hat.
Okay.
I didn't use hat till that play.
We'll agree to disagree, but it doesn't really matter in a way.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, we have come to the conclusion of this podcast. Thank you, guys. I want to thank my guest, Davian Coleman, for being so awesome. High five, man. Oh, my God. He broke my arm.
Oh, whatever.
You've been doing too many push-ups, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my body right.
Ew, is that lotion?
Fuck you, bitch.
Anyway. anyways, guys, for anything Steve Des-wise, go to stevedes.com. There's all Debian information is going to be there, not his Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Vine or anything technological, because apparently
I don't have it.
He's an old man and doesn't.
I am.
That doesn't exist for him. But yeah, guys, I'll see you on the next podcast, which will be next Sunday, right here on the Steve Des Island Podcast.
You've been listening to the Steve Des Island Podcast. Be sure to visit stevedes.com for more information about this episode, as well as past and future episodes. Rate and review this episode on iTunes. Don't forget to follow Steve Des on Twitter at SteveDesTV and like him on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/SteveDesShow. See you next time.